This episode of Continuing Mission is brought to you by Audible.com, offering more than 180,000 titles for smartphone, tablet, and desktop. To get a free audiobook of your choice and to help Trek FM at the same time, visit audibletrial.com/TrekFM. And also by Enterprise in Space, an international program of the non-profit National Space Society. Find out how you can help science and education and become a virtual crew member aboard the NSS Enterprise Orbiter by visiting enterpriseinspace.org. And if you want to join the conversation and share your thoughts on this episode, join the Babel Conference, our listeners group on Facebook. Just type BABEL into the Facebook search field, and we look forward to seeing you there.
Hi there, everybody. This is Vic Mignogna, Captain Kirk from Star Trek Continues, and you're listening to Trek FM.
Almost 1 year ago, film director Gary O'Brien appeared on Continuing Mission to tell us all about a movie he had made, a Star Trek fan movie called Chance Encounter. This movie has received rave reviews from Star Trek fans around the globe, and to date has been viewed over 50,000 times. Gary is here with us today on Continuing Mission to chat about his latest production. It's called The Holy Core. And so, without further ado, let's get into the turbo lift and go and chat with Gary O'Brien. Gary O'Brien, welcome to Continuing Mission again.
Thank you, Tony. Thanks for having me here.
Yeah, I made that sound like you're always here, but of course you're not always here. What I really meant was, it's great to have you back.
Oh, thank you. It's great to be back.
Gary, the last time you were on the show, you had just completed a movie called Chance Encounter. And Chance Encounter was a Next Generation-esque Star Trek movie, which was essentially a love story. And what I'm thinking, or what I remember about that conversation, was it was a film story that didn't begin its life as a Star Trek story. It began as something else, and then you Trekified it. Am I correct in saying that?
Yes, that's absolutely what happened. Yeah, you're right.
Okay. And I see that since that movie came out, it's had over 50,000 views. Are you
yes.
aware of that on YouTube?
I am. Yeah, very pleased with that. Yeah,
quite a feat. So that film, I'm assuming, inspired you to make another film, because that's why we're talking today. But really, what was your feeling after Chance Encounter came out, and what was the time period between you saying, do you know what, I think I'll make another movie, and this time it's going to be another Star Trek movie?
Yeah, great question. When Chance Encounter came out, we really weren't too sure what people would make of it, because, as you say, it is a love story in the Star Trek universe. But fortunately, overwhelmingly, it seems, people enjoy it and say, oh, wow, this is really great Star Trek. We loved it. Which obviously thrilled us, because we did make a Star Trek film. That's what we, you know, that's what we delivered and pitched as doing, even though it was more of a love story than a Star Trek story in some ways. But I think because I'm a huge Star Trek fan and I know it so well, I think that we got the tone of it so, not to sound like I'm blowing my own trumpet, but I think we got the tone of it so right that, even though if you really analyze the story, it's not particularly Star Trek, I think all the little elements to it made it feel authentic. And I think that's why people really respond to it. And so once it came out and it had that warm reception, and we kind of started thinking, well, it would be nice to do another one, but, you know, let's take some time. We realized that because we can get the tone right, we know we can do that. We said, well, let's do a through and through hardcore Star Trek film that's Star Trek from the ground up. And that's what the new one, The Holy Core, is going to be.
So, Gary, but as a filmmaker, Star Trek wasn't a particular genre that you were interested in. Filmmaking is what you're interested in. And Star Trek just seemed to be either you happened upon it, or in this case, it's a deliberate choice. But why did you decide to run your next movie with Star Trek rather than as a movie maker per se?
I think with Chance Encounter, briefly, that was I like making films, and I've always made films, and I've always liked Star Trek, and it just had never occurred to me, bizarrely, to put the two together until Chance Encounter. And then because it went down well, and because there's a built-in audience for Star Trek, it sounds a bit cynical in a way, but we're kind of piggybacking on the popularity of Star Trek. Not in any kind of unethical way, I hope. You know, I'm a huge Star Trek fan, and I won a competition last year. I got flown to LA for a week because I won a Star Trek trivia competition. So I am a Trek fan through and through. But just the idea of, you know, Chance Encounter is our most widely seen film, and it's in no small part because it's a Star Trek film. And we had a blast doing it, and people really liked doing it. And certainly I'm keen to make another Star Trek film. So it's really a reason. It's really more, what's the reason to not make the next film a Star Trek film? I mean, I'm sure I wouldn't want to just only ever make Star Trek films for the rest of my life, but I'm perfectly happy to make this one, you know, the Holy Core, and who knows, maybe more in the future as well. So yeah, for me, making a film, a Star Trek film, it is kind of like a really comfortable place to be at the moment for me. Yeah, I'm really happy to be doing a Star Trek film again.
Well, I wasn't trying to sell you short in any way, but sometimes movie makers are movie makers. The storyline is obviously important. That's what excites them. But Star Trek is a particular genre. And as you say, you're focusing on that, not in an unethical or cynical way, but it's becoming a great source or a great subject matter for your stories.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. I think I've got that thought pattern right. Anyway, there you go.
Cool.
Okay. So the difference between, we're going to talk about your new movie, which is called The Holy Core, but from its outset, this is a storyline that is Star Trek from its heart. And the whole movie is designed around, a Star Trek universe. So how did you begin that process, and where did you sit in the pub one evening with a pint and go, you know what, the next story is going to be Star Trek?
Yeah, kind of. Yes, kind of. I mean, we said, should we do another Star Trek film? And we said, well, Chance Encounter went down so well, yeah, we'd be fools not to do and try once more at least and see how we go. And I should say, actually, that we are fundraising for the Holy Core through March. So if anybody wants to donate to that, be very gratefully received. But yeah, we did. We sat in a pub and we said, just started batting some ideas around. And obviously we've been thinking about it independently ahead of time as well. And we came up with some sort of all sorts of interesting ideas. Frankly, a lot of them I've forgotten now, because, you know, we drilled down on one and we've just been concentrating on what's become the script for The Holy Core since then. But yeah, we had a bunch of ideas floating around, and we were just trying to think of, you know, firstly, I think the process is to have a thought, just like a sentence in your head of something that's interesting to you. So at one point we were thinking a little bit about migration, and then actually we saw the Star Trek Continues episode. Is it What Ships Are For? I think the one with John Delancey. And they kind of, I can't quite remember all the ins and outs now, but we were almost a little disappointed when we saw that episode, because it was so great. Their work was so great, but it was very similar to the area that we'd been exploring for our next film. And we kind of felt, I guess we felt great minds think alike, but we also felt, it's so similar. We can't really do that. It's a bit comical how close our discussions had been to what we then saw Star Trek Continues put out. So we sort of went back to the drawing board and eventually settled on what we now have in the script for The Holy Core. And so that's kind of how the process went.
And is there a relationship or some sort of references to the characters in Chance Encounter, or have you moved completely away and focused on a different set of characters, a different ship, a whole different sector of the galaxy, if you will?
Yeah, that's right. It's completely completely new setup. There's no references or anything. It's other than behind the scenes, there's no connection to Chance Encounter. So it'll be a whole new cast, a whole new ship, a whole new group of characters. It's a completely fresh, independent project.
You mentioned the crowdfunding. I'm going to come back to that later, towards the end of the interview for the moment. But I saw the clip that you did, and it's very professional, the teaser trailer that you've created, and it's incredibly professional. But what is that ship that's featured in the outset?
Right, yes, that ship. That is the USS Vigilance, and it's a Nebula-class starship. And it is, one of the primary locations that the Holy Core is set in, or perhaps I should say set on, I'm not sure. So yes, that's kind of like, the ship of this film, if you will. It's the Enterprise of our film. We have quite a lot of the action take place on board that ship. Unlike Chance Encounter, which obviously, as you know, a lot of that was set outside in, sort of parkland or whatever. Something that we felt was lacking from Chance Encounter was that familiar look of the Starfleet vessels and stuff. We had our little shuttle pod, but that wasn't much of it. So this time we really want visually as much as everything else to be Star Trek, Star Trek through and through. So not just the stories and the themes and the characters, but also the look of it. So a lot more of this film is set in sets, which are going to be Starfleet sets that represent rooms on board a Nebula-class starship called the USS Vigilance.
That's obviously going to involve you in a lot of hard work creating those sets, because you don't currently have a studio to film in, and presumably that's why the fundraiser is required. Am I getting that right?
Yes, essentially. Certainly the sets are going to be one of the main costs that we'll incur to make the film. There's others. We're going to hire cameras and various bits of filmmaking gear to make it work. We also need a lot of hard drive space to store all the footage, because we're going to shoot 4K, which I'm sure a lot of people know takes up a lot of space. And so there's a whole myriad of costs. Some are interesting, like the sets. Some are boring, like, insurance and travel and petrol and stuff, but obviously making a film is expensive. I think we all know that. But yeah, certainly the sets are going to be one of the primary areas where the funds that we hope to raise will be channeled, because we feel that we need to tell this story. We need to be on board the ship. And to do that, of course, means sets, because we don't want to sort of do a green screen thing. We think another part of the appeal of Chance Encounter, and one of the reasons it was popular, one of the more kind of granular reasons, as people like to say, was that we did build sets, and that, the sets look pretty good. There were good sets that, kind of convinced people that, we were really in these spaces and that they were real. And we want to replicate that, in the Holy Core, but by necessity, it's a bigger scale, because I should say that really the two sets that we're hoping to build, one is a ready room, and it's modeled on Captain Picard's ready room. It's that general layout, but we have adapted it for our purposes, and a kind of engineering type room somewhere in the bowels of the ship, because engineering was too grand a set for us to attempt to build. That was way beyond our budget. So we've designed an engineering type space, which will be a similar size to the ready room where other action takes place. And there's some other little pieces that we hope and need to build as well. But those are the two primary sets that we're looking to build. And we will be reusing parts of them and shooting out of order, so that we can shoot all the ready room stuff, say, and then take a few weeks off or a month off or whatever whilst we repaint them and redress them. So we're not building two complete sets from scratch. We're sort of building one and a half, essentially, and using the best use of our resources, so that we're not spending money where we needn't, So yeah, and we're really excited if people can see some designs for what those two sets look like on the Kickstarter page as well. And I really hope that we'll get funded and are able to actually construct those and eventually film on them.
I gather from the title of the film, The Holy Core, not only will there be set shooting, there will be location shooting, because you're going to some planet to meet some people in trouble. And obviously, they'll be wandering around wherever they are. So outside locations as well?
Possibly. There's a small scene that does occur on the planet. It's not like the entirety of the film isn't set on that ship. We do go off the ship, and we will be reusing the shuttle pod set that we built for Chance Encounter as well, because it would be foolish of us to ignore the fact that we have that set available to us. So there's several locations. The two I mentioned, the deflector control room, we're calling it, and the ready room, and the shuttle pod goes to the planet, and we will see the planet. Some of it will be, we haven't determined whether we'll be cheating it indoors or whether we will actually go on a real location. I'm looking at some sort of location scouting for some actual caves, because it wouldn't be Star Trek without some caves, really, would it? it always amazes me how often caves are in a high-tech futuristic show set in space, but they always end up in caves. And, you know, who are we? Like I said, it's Star Trek through and through, so caves it is. So whether we find a way of cheating that indoors, or if we're actually able to go to some actual caves, which, as I said, we're looking into, but we're not getting too much into the nitty gritty of that kind of stuff yet, because we still haven't secured the funding. So we're really hoping that people will be able to make a donation. And then, of course, once we know we're actually going into production, then we'll be all guns blazing, finding all that stuff out for sure, and planning it all, you know. But yes, there will be a scene on the planet, or several scenes on the planet. Yeah.
One of the reasons I mentioned it was because in Chance Encounter, you did such a great job on location shooting with light and sound that I just thought, well, you can't miss up that opportunity to do it again, because it was so good. It really was good.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I mean, it does look very nice, Chance Encounter. You know, some of that was good fortune with weather and stuff. But yeah, hopefully it's some of our filmmaking skill coming through as well, hopefully. But to that point, it is frankly extraordinarily difficult to shoot on location. You know, you're constantly fighting the light and the sound. And so and so much of Chance Encounter was outdoors that we really felt that it made more sense as producers to try and limit the risk to us, because if it rains on that one day, then you're really screwed. So there's all sorts of reasons why we've made the choices we have, but one of them is just to give ourselves an easier time whilst making the film, so that we're less likely to run into trouble making it. You know, Star Trek 3 was, I think, all soundstage, I think. Maybe there's a shot that isn't, but they're on all sorts of planets in Star Trek 3, and yet it's all set on soundstages, I believe. So because it's just quicker and easier to film in those places. So, so yeah, but like I said, perhaps we will shoot in real caves, but there's not a whole lot of that if we do. We're hoping to build these wonderful sets, so we're going to really use as much of them as we can, you know?
Yeah, why not? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Your script is locked or is still being worked on at this moment in time?
It's locked to the point where we felt it was time to, there was nothing more to be gained by tinkering with it until we knew if we were making it. So we will continue to work on the script if we get funded. We're on the seventh or eighth draft at this point. Paul and I, my partner in crime in all this, we were about to do a run through on it, and I said, no, we should just see if we're actually going to make this first. Otherwise, we'll just get more and more attached to this great story that we've written, and we might not get to make it. So it's locked in a sense that, yeah, I mean, we could just shoot the script we've got, and I'm sure it'd be fine, but we will continue to tinker with it if we get the funding. Yeah. And, you know, I think you tinker with these things, you know, even on the day you're filming, you're still questioning this line and changing it. And even in the edit, you move things around, and the script essentially changes you know, until the very release of the film in some ways. So, but yeah, we've got a script that's all written and basically ready to go. Yeah.
Okay. And I'm sure you're plagued with people saying, what's it all about? What's happening? What's, how does it start? What's the start, middle and end? But I'm not going to plague you with those two questions because I know you don't want to give the plot away, but can you kind of generally hint at what might be happening in the movie?
Sure. Well, the premise, it's always difficult to sort of explain the story without giving it away, as you say, or just telling the story. But what I will say is that the film opens with the Vigilance, as we discussed, our ship. It's in orbit of a planet called Vita 2. And the reason that our ship is there is because we're there to assist the Vitans with a procedure to clean their atmosphere. Their atmosphere is very polluted because for the last several centuries, they've been engaged in a religious war on their world. And in the last 10 or 15 years or so, they've reached a kind of peace and they're rebuilding their world. And one of the things on their list to do is to clean all this muck they've built into their atmosphere with all this fighting. And we're there to help them with an innovative technique that they've come up with but need our help to implement. And that's the launch point. That's kind of the opening scene, if you will, explaining all that in the ready room set with these Vitans on board and our chief engineer and so on, setting up that premise. And then from there, things, as we go about doing this mission and helping them, things aren't necessarily all what they seem, and people aren't necessarily displaying their true motives, and so things unfold and we have quite a lot of adventure and stuff. It's thoughtful. It's two things really. It's thoughtful. We give the time for characters to, one of the great things about Star Trek is that the characters will often sit, they'll be running a diagnostic and they'll be like, oh, it'll take the computer a minute to do that, and then they'll just have a little conversation. And Star Trek, certainly at its best, and the Next Generation, and people will just sit and they'll just talk for a minute. And so we have time for one of our characters, who's a Starfleet officer, to talk to one of these visiting aliens, and they discuss their various views on religion and war and how one finds peace and how much religion plays a part or not in that. And hopefully it will be an interesting, thoughtful conversation for people to witness happen. But framing around, and we have similar conversations with the captain in his ready room, you know, those scenes punctuate an unfolding adventure. It's quite dramatic, quite a lot of cool and interesting stuff occurs. But it's not all one or all the other. It's not just people sitting around talking about religion or science. But it's not just wham, bam, firing phases either. I think it's a very healthy blend. Like the best Star Trek episodes are. And I should say as well, it's not a science versus religion debate, because I think people often hear science and religion and they assume it's just a sort of, you know, one versus the other, who will win? And we're not doing science versus religion. It's just discussing science and religion together, and they're not necessarily conflicting with each other. We're hoping in our own little way that we're having an intelligent kind of little discussion about it, but mixed in with, you know, adventure and you know, drama and all the fun stuff that we want as well. So that's probably about as much as I can say about the story without starting to spoil it, you know.
No, don't spoil it. Don't spoil the surprise. But you're saying in true Star Trek tradition, it has a moral, a meaning and a message. And I stole that from another one of our Trek FM podcasts, but that's essentially, and now I'm going to use a pun, that's essentially the core of it.
Oh yeah, that's a good pun. I like it, the holy core. No, that is right though, that is the core of it. It's you know, when I think of the episodes that I really like, the ones that stick with you, especially as you get older, maybe when you're a kid and you watch Star Trek, you, as I used to, you certainly like the, you know, the episodes with, you know, the higher weird Brannon Braga stuff happening, or the, you know, the action-y stuff. But as you get older and a bit more thoughtful, hopefully, then you see the value more than you used to in the more thoughtful, talkative ones. But, you know, we don't want to make a boring talk only. It's not a seminar either, you know. So, yeah, but hopefully it will have the best of Star Trek, the sort of stuff that, you know, lots of people in the comments on Chance Encounter have said, oh, this is, you know, this is Star Trek. This is the real Star Trek, which is very flattering to have somebody say that. And we hope to do that again, to really just make people think, yes, this is what I want. You know, this is the Star Trek I like. So, because that's the Star Trek we like, and that's the Star Trek we want to try and make. So, yeah.
You're going for a longer movie this time. I think Chance Encounter was about 20 minutes long.
But this That's right.
This is a much more ambitious and lengthier movie.
Yes, yes. We all know the fan film guidelines and all of that. And one of those is this thing about can't be longer than 15 minutes or two 15-minute parts. And we figured, you know, we've got a great story. I mean, I'm always amazed at how powerful some of the episodes are, and they fit it into 43 minutes, you know, without the ads. And the story we've got, you know, we think it's a really good story, and we've managed, you know, we fitted it into 30 minutes, because I think it demands that amount of screen time, really. One of the things we're being careful of whilst writing the script is, you know, keeping the length in mind. So we're keeping the page count to about 30 pages as well. You know, the rule of thumb of about a page a minute. So we're making sure that we don't write it too long or too short, because we know that, you know, 30 minutes and it is the target. Partly because, you know, the story demands that we spend that long in telling it, but also it's going to cost the same amount to build these sets and so on, whether they're in the film for 5 minutes or 50 minutes or whatever, you know. So, you know, we want to maximize the worth of the investment that we'll make in the sets. So yeah, we'll go for the maximum allowable screen time for the sets, because, you know, why wouldn't we, you know? So yeah, but it is, you're right, it's more ambitious than Chance Encounter, because it is 10 minutes longer, which is a lot when the original was only 20 minutes. And also, yeah, because the sets and so on kind of makes sense for it to be longer.
Moving on a bit, let's talk about your crowdfunding campaign. You're doing it with Kickstarter.
That's right.
I can't remember if you did a crowdfunding campaign for Chance Encounter, but then again, by the time we met up, it had already been made. So we talked about the process, but this is the first time we're going in right from scratch. So
yes, we did do a crowdfunder for Chance Encounter. We did a Kickstarter campaign, and it was a successful one. We actually slightly exceeded what the target amount was, so we were very pleased about that. And so yeah, we're, you know, that worked for us before, so we've gone back to Kickstarter to raise money for the Holy Core. Some people may know a bit about crowdfunding. I've only sort of learnt through doing, but one of the things with Kickstarter is you have to, people pledge the money, it's not actually collected until the end of the campaign, and if you don't reach your goal, then you don't get any of the money. None of the money is collected, which is different from things like Indiegogo, where people just give the money straight away and the organizers keep whatever is pledged. Essentially, it means that for Kickstarter, which is what we're doing, the backers don't have to make any financial risk. That the money only leaves their account if we reach our goal. Because otherwise people can get a little bit screwed if we're saying we want, you know, £8,000, and then somebody gives us £1,000 and then that's all we raise. Well, they're still down £1,000, but there's no way we'd have been able to make the film for just what they gave us. So we picked Kickstarter because we think it's fairer on the backers, even though we potentially won't make any money at all if we don't reach our goal. they're the sort of two models of crowdfunding, at least as I understand it. So we're hoping that people will trust in us more and be more willing to pledge, because there's a security for them that if we don't reach that target, then we all just walk away, no harm done, although disappointed.
You will have a database of the people who crowdfunded you before. So presumably they'll be first in line to step up to the plate and say, I'll give X amount towards your project. Yeah,
that's right. That was another consideration as well, that we had that resource there. People have responded really well so far. But we are asking for more money this time. As we said, the sets cost more. There's a bigger runtime. There's lots of reasons why the Holy Core will cost more money than Chance Encounter did. I hate being one of these people that's going, please send money. It's just this, I'm not one of those people that's great at asking people for money. But if people want to see a new TNG type adventure that, you know, will be good, I can assure you of that, then please do go to the Kickstarter and pledge whatever you can, and also spread the word about it, because it's called crowdfunding, I guess, for a reason. We need a whole crowd. Please do go over there. We're really hoping it will be successful and we get to make the film for everybody to enjoy.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. And as I said, I looked today at the crowdfunding site, Kickstarter, and so I can definitely tell you my name will be appearing on there soon.
Thank you, Tony. Appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Yeah, well, I'm saying that because I so enjoyed your last output with Chance Encounter that I just know the next movie that you release will be superseded on so many levels, but it'll be a good thing to watch. And I'd like
thanks,
to
Tony. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And of course, we will encourage our listeners here on Trek FM to take a look at what you're doing, and also to put their hands in their pockets or on their wallets or their credit card or something. Yeah. and get you funded, and let's get this show on the road.
Yeah, great. We're really hopeful that we can get it made.
Gary, I'm trying to think of other questions that are relevant to what you're doing, but I think we've covered all the bases. So we are going over old ground again, but let's just remind people where they can find you, where they can find information on the Holy Core, and where they can donate.
Okay, great. Yes. Really, the easiest thing is to go to StarTrekShortFilm.com, and from there you'll be led to everywhere else. So StarTrekShortFilm.com, and there's a big button on the front of that which will take you straight to the Kickstarter, and then you can see we've spent quite a lot of time and energy trying to make sure that the Kickstarter page really explains exactly what we're doing, and hopefully is interesting and fun to look at as well. We try to put lots of images in there to show that, you know, to make it exciting. It's not just a wall of text. Even if you can't pledge, just go and have a look, because it's quite cool to look at, I hope. Just go to StarTrekShortFilm.com and then click the button, and it will take you straight through to the Kickstarter, and then everything else you need will be there.
Gary, I'm going to say thank you very much for coming on Continuing Mission today. Continuing Mission again. And I hope this isn't the last time we'll speak to you. I think it was about 8 months ago we spoke with you.
Yeah.
So I hope it won't be as long. So we'd like to have an update on what's happening.
Absolutely.
I'll be keeping an eye on it, and I'm sure we'll be in touch.
Brilliant.
So on behalf of Trek FM, thank you for being here with us today.
Thanks, Tony.
If you've not seen Chance Encounter yet, I do encourage you to watch it. You'll find it on YouTube, and you'll also find it on Gary's website, which is called StarTrekShortFilm.com. His next production, The Holy Core, is bound to be a tremendous success, but it needs your help. And if you can donate on Kickstarter to make it happen, then so much the better. So let's see what we can do for Gary and this fantastic production. Now, across the Trek FM network, other podcasts are going out discussing every aspect of Star Trek you could possibly imagine. In case you've missed some of these shows, let's have a listen right here and to whet your appetite.
Previously on Trek.fm, The Ready Room.
I'd like to see a starship where the chief medical officer is a Tellarite.
Oh.
And see his bedside manner.
I'll see your crappy Lewis Zimmerman hologram right. amalgamation and raise you a Tellarite doctor. Yeah. Uh-huh.
The 602 Club.
This is such an incredible beachhead in terms of what they do with what we've come to expect now with like the beginning of Guardians of the Galaxy or resurrecting Peter Cushing.
Warp 5.
We share about 50% of our DNA with a banana, so I think we're a bit closer to reptiles than 50%, but still.
So what you're saying is it's possible to have an intelligent banana.
I'm not saying that. I'm just
and
saying
I'm 50%
that...
50% banana.
To the journey!
Bullions don't have a lot of hair.
That we know of. So, I mean, we've never seen a shirtless bullion, have we?
Not that I can recall, unless it would be in sick bay or something like that, but I can't recall an incident of a shirtless bullion.
How do you know that they're not hairy-chested?
I kind of love the idea that, like, from the neck down, they're covered in hair, but they're bald on top.
And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
Okay, so check out all these shows and join the conversation about your favorite corner of the Star Trek universe and beyond. You'll find us wherever you get your podcasts. If you're an Apple user, be sure to hit the subscribe button in Apple Podcasts on iPhone, iPad, or Apple TV, or the desktop iTunes app to get the latest episodes as soon as they're published. And please, leave us a star rating and a written review. If you're not an Apple user, we've got you covered as well. You can find our shows on Google Play Music, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spreaker, SoundCloud, Windows Phone, in most third-party apps, and you can stream and download the MP3 file from our website or grab the RSS link. We'd love to hear your thoughts on today's show, and there are many ways for you to do that. The best place to join in the larger conversation is the Babel Conference, our listeners group on Facebook. Just type Babel, B-A-B-E-L, into the search field on Facebook and it should come right up. And if you'd like to send us an email, you can use the form on our website at trek.fm/contact. Choose to send to a show and select continuing mission. That will come right to us. You can also find the network on Twitter at TrekFM and on Facebook at facebook.com/TrekFM. I'm Tony Robinson. You can find me on Twitter at Shamrock165. And of course, I dip in and out of the Babel Conference on Facebook from time to time. Now, if you'd like to help us keep all our shows coming to you each week, you can become a patron of the network on Patreon. Visit patreon.com/TrekFM. That's patreon.com/TrekFM to get all the details. Perks include early access to episodes, exclusive content, producer credits, and more, available through our special patrons website, PatronZone. It requires a great deal of money to produce, host, and distribute these shows each month. We really appreciate any support you can give us and hope you'll join the team. Again, you'll find all the details at patreon.com/TrekFM. And before we go today, we have to give a shout out to our founder and publisher, Christopher Jones, and our executive producer, Ken Tripp. These guys work very hard to keep the whole thing running, and we appreciate all the hard work that they put in. I'm Tony Robinson. You've been listening to Continuing Mission here at Trek FM. Tune in again. We'll have some more exciting news in the world of Star Trek fan movies for you soon.